Verse number 22. God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. He's talking about Balaam. Now, he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever want to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." That's as far as I want to read for sake of reading. And I want to look at this story. I actually want to go back a little bit in the chapter and look at this story about listening to the voice of God. Listening to the voice of God. And a lot of people are confused about what it is to just listen to the voice of God. I'm glad that Brother Rackley said something the other night that was very plain. He said, "You don't need a voice if you've got a verse." Why? Because that's already God's spoken word. Amen? I mean, if God's word says, "Thou shalt not," you don't have to pray about the matter. You don't have to agonize. You don't have to say, "Well, I'm waiting to get a voice from heaven on the matter." If it's plain and black and white to you, amen, that's the voice of God talking to you right there. But there is, I know, by the Spirit of God, that whispers to you and I. That God that talks to us as believers, and He does. Now, I'll say this, and I'll say it for the rest of my life. God will never tell you to do something that is contrary to this book, to the doctrine of this book, to the ways of God's righteousness and holiness. God will never guide you. I don't care how many times people say, well, I know God told me, I know what the Bible said, but I know what, you know, God said. Listen, God's not going to contradict Himself. So you've got to get away from that. But now let's just look at this story right here and try to learn something about hearing the voice of God. And I woke up my grandbaby, man. Here, the children of Israel had been in several wars. If you want to put it that way, the land of Israel and the children of Israel, and had been in several wars. And now they're come to a place, this man by the name of Balak. And Balak, he's the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many. So what you had is you had the children of Israel going from one war to the next and conquering. Now you have this man by the name of Balak, and he's in Moab, and they are very afraid of the children of Israel. And Balak, who is very familiar with Balaam, no doubt he was an acquaintance of him. He had heard of his prophecies. And he no doubt at one time seemed like he was a prophet of God in this land. But there was a lot of divination in that day and a lot of magic. And so I don't know what they thought of Balaam, but I know the Bible says that when they had went, in verse number 7, the elders of Moab, the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. Now the Bible talks about in the New Testament about Balaam, about that wage of unrighteousness. Whether it was money or whether it was, some kind of magic that they were coming with, something that they were going to pay him for what they were asking out of him. So they came with the rewards of divination. And here's why they came. They were afraid of the children of Israel. And they were afraid they would be conquered. And so Balak calls to Balaam and says, I want you to curse the children of Israel that I would be able to overtake them. And then so the princes that Balak sent to Balaam's house, Balaam said, stay the night, I'll inquire of the Lord and see what the Lord says, and then you'll be on your way tomorrow. And so in verse 9, God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people. for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Now I want to tell you something. Here God has given Balaam a lot more information than what Balaam is willing to share with Balak and his men. And when by the time they get back, all they had to say is, he refused to come with us. In other words, Balak has no idea why that Balaam won't come. What Balaam should have done is said, God spoke to me this night, and God told me not to touch them, and God said they were his blessed people. Now, that might have been a whole different scenario in Balak's life had Balaam given the true message of God. Not been ashamed of God's message, amen? I mean, he knew that this man was heathen, the king of Moab. He knew because his men had come with payments of divination. And because of what we know in the Bible about Balaam, evidently, he was doing what God wanted him to do here at first. But something in his heart wanted the rewards of unrighteousness. I'll tell you what happens a lot of time when God speaks to you. I mean, God is very clear in his intention and what he wants you to do. But a lot of times we've got some other agenda on our mind that's pulling on us and weighing on us. And so we don't either see things as clearly or hear things as clearly, but what God said was very clear. Balaam's disrespect for God's word is the first thing I want you to see, and the integrity in forbidding him to go. I mean, God told him, don't go with these men. I mean, God will make it plain about the crowd that you need to be with and the crowd you need to be running with. Amen. I mean, God was going to save Balaam's life if he'd have listened to him. God would have saved him from a whole lot of trouble if he'd have just got away from some of them people. Amen. He said, don't go with them. And it has nothing to do with being bad. Now, this generation, I'll tell you what, I'm so tired. This generation, they want to argue and piddle and mince word over things that don't even matter. It has nothing to do with us being better than anybody else. God tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. When God's people see unbelievers, we love them. We are good to them. We smile at them. They can curse us and we'll pray for them. It has nothing to do with our character toward them, why we don't have anything to do with them. It's that we cannot continue to live with and close in the same manner as people of the world without that rubbing off on us. You know why? Because we're still flesh. And the devil knows. And listen, the world is going to always try to push you and I into doing the things of the world. Doing things that are against the Lord. Amen? That's what they wanted him to do. This king sent more princes, better than the first ones. He didn't even send his best first. He didn't even send his best princes first to Balaam. Was he not worth the best? I mean, if Balaam thought this is my only way out, he should have sent his best first. But he sends these better princes then, now to him. And you know what he's trying to do? He's going to try to get him to disobey the Lord. And that's what the world does. God, surely God didn't say that. That's not what God intended. Amen? And so they rose up and they came. And so Balak in verse 15 sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. You see how he's trying to entice him in different ways? I'll promote you to a very great honor. Here's the next one. I'll do whatever you say. I'll do whatever you say if you'll just come. I don't know how many people have enticed others. Maybe, whatever that it may be. I'll do whatever you want if you'll just be with me. Trying to entice them in. And he said, look what he said. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Sounds like he's taking a stand. But there's something in his heart. Listen, you have got to do more than just... Listen, letting it come out of your mouth and letting people know where you stand is one thing. But you've got to believe that yourself. You've got to believe it yourself. Amen. With all of your heart and with all your mind, you have got to believe what God has said to you and what you're saying to them. You've got to believe it. If he filled his house full of gold, I wouldn't go. You've got to believe that. If the devil promised me the presidency of the United States, I wouldn't follow him. And I believe that. And I know that. There's nothing the devil could offer me to get me to neglect Christ and follow him. Amen. What are you going to do with what God has said to you? Amen. God has already told him what to do. God don't have to say it again. God told me some things the other night. I know what I've got to do. Whether I do it is between me and him. But I don't need to wander around. Reckon why things ain't working out the way, you know. God will take my mind right back over here. Right back to when I was down praying, sincere. God, what do I need to do? Lord, show me what I need to do. God, speak to my heart. God, reveal to me. God, put in me a hunger. Put in me a thirst. And God said, you want it? Do this. Amen. And you and I, listen, God said it once, it's enough. And here he is, he's repeating, I can't go, I cannot go. But in his mind and heart, watch it. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye here also this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Are you kidding me? You're going to go ask God about that same situation again as if God's changed his mind about it? Listen, God's not a human being. I mean, people, you keep asking them enough and begging them enough, a lot of time they'll give in. Which is wrong. Amen? But God, if God's already said it once, listen, you're going to get the same answer. I want to see if God will tell me something more. I want to see if God will maybe say, Balaam, go ahead and you need a little bit of that money. Go ahead and take a few of those things and go with them. You know, that's what he was wanting. Amen. His covetousness for the reward, his hypocrisy in seeking to persuade God to let him go. That's what he was wanting to do. He's going to try to persuade God to let him go. That's what he's wanting to do. God, would you let me go? I know you said to stay, but God, this is a dire situation. Would you let me go? Would you let me go if I just only spoke your word? Lord, if I'm a messenger for you, would you? Let's say some places God don't want you going. Paul wanted to speak for God. God said, I want you to speak for me, but you're not going to speak in Asia. Paul forbid him. God forbid Paul to go into Asia, didn't he? And even for a while, God said, you're going to go to Rome, but you're not going now. So here he is. God has already made it very clear what he wants Balaam to do. The Lord, I'm telling you again, I want you to see that, church, and how important it is, how dire important it is what God did for us last week. The things that God spoke with us. And I know I'm not the only one in here that God said something to. Amen? There's a house full of God's people that God was speaking to their heart and making some great promises that if we had come to Him His way and follow Him, what God would do for us. Amen. So, he's got a stubbornness regarding. You know what the Bible says about stubbornness? It says idolatry. You know what he said? I mean, he's going to go to him again. In spite of God's command. Let's read it. He said, in verse 19, I'll see what the Lord will say unto me more. Verse 20, God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him. And see, God knows Balaam. Now watch closely. Watch what God says. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. Which meant evidently he would have had to been in bed during the night if he had to rise up. He wasn't already risen up in the morning, so this is not in the morning. So if they come to him during the night, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. So if the men come to call thee in the night, then you get up and go with them. But you only do what I tell you to do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. I don't see anybody coming to him saying anything. He done had it settled in his heart.
Yes, sir.
I'm going.
Amen.
I'm going. God had gave him God said, all right, you want to test me, I'll test you. Amen. If they come to you, you rise up and you follow them, but you only do what I tell you to do. Nobody came to him, but in the morning he got up, Well, they're still here. I reckon that's good enough. I'm going. It's surely I'm going. That's not at all what God said. Twisting, listen, twisting, just so that he can go. He's wanting to go so bad. Away from what God's will is for his life. You and I, listen, especially after what God did for us, you and I should want to go toward God's will. To see more of God's power. More of God's presence. To want to see God's great salvation again and again. I'm telling you, there are people in here this morning right now, you may be thinking, I know God can do that. I just don't know that God would do it for my, he'll do it for your house. Amen. You follow him with all your heart, he'll do it for your house. Amen. You do what God would have you. You just love him. You just love him and follow him. Put him first. I say God will ring the bells of heaven in your house.
Amen.
Amen. God can do it.
Amen.
That big revival went 7 weeks back there. I got right with God in, got called to preach in. Listen, the meanest men in the county showed up at the meeting. Because God was there.
Amen.
And they probably didn't even realize why they was there, but they were there. When I pastored Dry Creek Missionary Baptist Church, the meanest man on Dry Creek hated God, hated us, and said so. Hated his family, hated himself. Come walking in the door under conviction, just as white as the white paint on this pulpit, and went straight down to the altar and got gloriously saved. I'm talking rough. God can get a hold of anybody if we'll follow what God wants us to do. Amen. God can empty Shooting Creek of all the sinners and get them into saints in his house. That's right. God can do that. If you and I would just love him and put him first and refuse our stubbornness and our wanting to do things our way.
Amen.
So, he had a lack of desire to do God's best, didn't he? He lacked the desire. That desire leaves. That want to. Listen, you're going to have to make your flesh. Paul said, I have to beat it into subjection. I have to whip it into subjection. You have to make it. Your flesh ain't never going to want to do this. It ain't never going to want to open your mouth. You know why? It's ashamed. It's embarrassed. You need to get beyond shame and embarrassment. And thank the good Lord for saving you. For what he's done for you. Amen. Don't be ashamed. The flesh, it'll put a big frog in your throat. Get beyond that.
Amen.
Swallow your pride.
Yes.
Swallow that holds you back from giving God a sacrifice of praise.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my. The angel of the Lord, listen. You'll find him coming upon the scene in verse 22. and verse 24, and verse 26, and verse 31 and 32, I believe it is. I mean, just right on down through there, the angel of the Lord, God. And Balaam don't even see him. But the dumb ass he's riding does. So God quits talking to Balaam because he's not listening. God, do you notice God started talking to him? God started dealing with him. But when he kept wanting to go, settled in his heart, he was going to go, going to do what he wanted in spite of what God said. God had to start showing himself and speaking through something else. God's anger was kindled because he went. In verse 22, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Listen, I don't want God as my adversary. And that's what where people a lot of times are heading to. They refuse to listen to the Word of God, to what God's saying. Listen, you're making God an adversary. He'll stop you. If you're His, He'll stop you. Balaam's on that donkey. He's on his ass riding. And that thing turns out of the path and goes into a field. Boy, he's whipping the daylights out of it. What's wrong with this stubborn thing? Tries to get it back in the way. Gets him in a place, in a path of a vineyard. And there's a wall of grapes on this side and a wall on this side. And that donkey, he just goes right into the wall. And it crushes Balaam's ankle. You'd think he'd start wondering, is God trying to get my attention on this journey?
Right.
Is God trying to say something to me? I'm being hindered every step of the way. Well, take your mind back. Did God tell you something a long time ago that's coming back to your mind now? Well, it wasn't for Balaam. I've done that before, though. Boy, it just seemed like God just nearly have to twist my foot off, so to speak. And then my mind go back. I knew that was God. I should have known that was God telling me that. I should have known God was trying to keep me out of trouble. Trying to keep me from wasting my time. Getting into something that I didn't need to get into. Amen. And so, then, in verse 26, the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place. They had no way to go. No way to go. Not to the right or the left. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord in verse 27, she fell down under Balaam. She just dropped. Stopped. There was nowhere else to go. Left, right. So she just refused. She just dropped. I ain't walking no more. And Balaam's anger was kindled. And he smote the ass with a staff. Now listen, this is an ass that had always been good to him. Had always carried him anywhere he wanted to go. Never had give him any trouble. Now all of a sudden, all kinds of friction between him and the ass. He begins to smite it. Smite it. He begins to beat on it. Lash out. Lash out at that is saving his life. Boy, I see in that picture, I see children lashing out at parents. Parents lashing out at preachers. Amen. I mean, I see a lot of different avenues you can look at that. Somebody lashing out at somebody that has never been nothing but good. Taking all his anger and frustration. Well, that's his sin. He's taking it out on that donkey. See what sin does?
Yes, sir.
Rebellion, stubbornness, greed. Greed. His willingness to use every means possible to get there. Some people, I'm telling you, they will go to the bitter end so they can get what their flesh wants. And sometimes it may cost them everything. It's a serious thing, church. I mean, you saw the goodness of the Lord. God's wonderful graciousness. And God laying out a path, a lighted path, just beautiful and wonderful. Why would we want to go any other way?
Amen.
Why would we want to? I don't have time to... My goodness, I preached a lot longer than I thought. God had to get the ash to speak to him. I'm about done. I have to close. He got the ash to speak to him. Listen, God sometimes, since you wasn't going to hear what he said, he'll send a message again some other way. Sometimes strange ways. Where'd that come from? I mean, a dumb ass speaking? It's out of nowhere. I've been, and you have too, there's been times I've been praying about something or been maybe even wrestling with God, and then some Christian looked me right in the eye and say something about the very thing. That ever happened to you?
Amen.
That wasn't coincidence.
Amen.
Wasn't coincidence. The angel of the Lord was standing in the way. Finally, opened Balaam's eyes. And he knew. He couldn't help but know. It was God all along. God all along. The goodness of God still stopping him from going in the wrong direction. The goodness of God, church, he'll keep leading us and trying to open our eyes and swaying us back his way. But Balaam, listen, Balaam's story is a story of regret. Because what he had at one time with God could have had, he lost it by taking those wages of unrighteousness. It cost him. It cost him far more than I even want to begin to get into this morning. We have a Heavenly Father that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And the hills and the taters in the hills. He's got a place prepared for us. Has given us salvation. We've escaped hell, death, sin, and the grave. He's given us life more abundantly.
Amen.
I want to live that life, don't you?
Amen.
An abundant life. I want you to stand. I'm done.